different stuff. And so, since we guys come to church, who do you think one of our coach in our life could be?
Mrs. McCurd.
Well, yes, that's your pastor. What is Mrs. Who do we kind of worship or believe in when we come here?
God.
So God is kind of like our coach, and our teammates are people that come to church, and maybe people in our lives that can help us, right? So God is always with us. He's going to be leading us, and he's going to be guiding us, even though when we're sad. Sometimes teams lose. Sometimes teams get injured, teammates, right? But if you believe in God, he and his teachings are in the Bible, and that's what we can refer to. So God loves you no matter what. So that's what I want you to take out, and God is our coach in our life. So let's pray. I have a little prayer. So when you pray, you can close your hands like this, or you can just kind of sit and close your eyes. I like to hold my hands and close my eyes. So dear Lord, thank you for always being with us and guiding us in all we do, and please help others as well. Amen. Okay, so now you guys are going to go downstairs if you want to, or you can stay and listen to the sermon. And Miss Alice and Miss
sometimes they're a relief, but we are excited to be doing new things.
So are you going to read us the story?
No. I gave you something to color on your bulletin the other day, and you missed it, apparently.
She's coaching.
A couple of things. You will notice at the end of each pew is a new pew Bible. I ordered the large print. Now, large apparently is subjective, but it is bigger than the last ones. And it is the New Living Translation. It's the translation that you'll hear me read from the front. So if you'd like to follow along, or if you need a Bible and you don't have one, you are welcome to take them and use them, or find somebody who needs one. But those are at the end of your things. Also, I forgot to announce earlier, we're going to do an Easter choir. One song only. But if you would like to be a part of the choir, and the rules are make a joyful noise unto the Lord, that's what song says, we would love to have you do that. And next week we'll announce when we're going to practice and rehearse. And it's a really neat song that I found about Easter. And we're going to sing it together. And that was Kay's request and idea, so we're going to give it a try, right? We're about to leave it.
You know, we have more people on this side today.
Yeah, we're tipping. All right. All right, we've been talking about God's gifts to us, and we've gone through a lot of them. We've talked about grace, we've talked about a number of things, and today we're going to talk about prayer, or conversations with God, because it's another one of the gifts that God gives to us. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can come boldly and confidently into his presence. Now, I'm sure if you've spent any time in church at all, you've heard good Christians pray. In fact, you've probably heard or somehow gleaned that really good Christians have a really good prayer life. Up at dawn, on their knees, notes in a giant prayer journal, always remembering to bring everybody else's needs before God, communicating effectively and worthily with the Almighty God, and heartfelt words about their own failings, and seeking his will in everything they do. And they get done with their prayer, and you think, wow, I'm no good at this. Why bother? Apparently, I'm not that skilled. And the goal can seem kind of unattainable. I don't have the courage or the desire to try. I can't match that. I don't know how to do this very well, and somehow my attempts seem kind of feeble in comparison. Maybe you feel like your prayers are unworthy. You ever felt they were ineffective? Is anyone really listening out there? Because I don't always get the answers that I'm seeking. Sometimes I bring it to the Lord again and again and again and again, and I'm going on 20 years praying for my sister, and she still has not come back to the Lord. And 20 years is a long time to pray and not get the answer that I want or that I'm seeking. But the gift of prayer is this: the creator of the entire universe, the one who set everything into motion, the big cheese, the one and only, the Almighty God, wants to engage with you. We've talked a lot lately about how engaging with God is something that we get to do, but make no mistake, God wants to engage with you as well. You ever had a conversation with someone who was incredibly busy or tremendously important? You ever had to go in there and have your little list, you know? I know you're really busy, but... And you try and think of the right attitude, and you try and think of the right words to use. You know they're busy, your things seem trivial in light of everything that they're responsible for. And life here on this earth has taught us there's a hierarchy, right? And not many of us are at the top of the food chain, are we? Most of us have to live down here. And we have a request. We have something that's important. We need to go and meet with someone who's important. And it feels a little tricky. And sometimes that human story, that human experience we have, interferes with engaging well in prayer. So just what is this all about? How do I open this gift of prayer? And I thought, let's take a few weeks and let's do some considering about this. What does the Bible say? How does that relate to me? Jesus had a couple of conversations with the disciples about prayer. And we're going to start there in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. We say this prayer every week. But we know that those aren't the only words that Jesus intended us to say in our conversation with God. But they were very key. And next week we're going to dig in a little deeper to that. But we're going to read it. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start with verse 5. Jesus says to him, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, and here's in our vernacular, are you ready? May your name be kept holy." Do we keep his name holy? Or do we use his name flippantly? "May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done here like it's done up there. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us." I have to forgive to be forgiven. "And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." Myron Osberger, in his commentary on the book of Matthew, says this about this passage, and I found this really interesting. "Prayer is opening up one's life to God. It is inviting him to act in our lives. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is being willing to accept his will in our lives." Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. If I just ask long enough, I'll get, what was the word, the phrase I used? "I suppose, fine, go ahead." Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is being willing to accept his will in our lives. He goes on to say in that book, "Prayer moves the hand of God by giving him the freedom to do in our lives what he's been wanting to do." Because even though God is sovereign, even though he is all-powerful, he abides by the rules he set up to run this world. And the rule is, you have free will. And rule number two is rule number one won't be broken. Prayer allows us to engage with God. We give her permission then to work in our lives. Prayer, he says, is therefore relational. It's not a mental review of God's principles. It's not trying to coerce God. It's inviting him to share with us. Jesus started this teaching about prayer by clearly stating what it was not to be. And what it was not to be was what the disciples had observed their entire lives. And it was probably what had left them as simple fishermen feeling inadequate, feeble, unworthy, and incapable of doing all of this. The Jewish style of praying was, if you were very holy, you could stand out in the street corner, arms up, so everybody knew what you're doing. And you started praying, and you prayed loudly, and you went on for a while, and your words were holy, spiritualese. Oh, great sovereign Father. And off you go. And that's what they had noticed. Now, to our culture, that seems a little odd, doesn't it? But in their culture, that's what you did. If you read Luke 18, Jesus tells a quick parable. And parables were a story about something that happened here on earth that had a heavenly explanation to it, pointing to something, a heavenly principle. Chapter 18 of Luke and verse 10. Jesus tells this story. Two men went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. And they were despised. Think of some area of worker here that we don't really have much use for, that we feel cheats us and robs us blind. And that's who they were. Because tax collectors could collect whatever they wanted. They had to pass on a certain amount to Rome, but their pay was whatever else they got out of you. Well, that's not very fair, is it? They were despised. These two people, Pharisee, church guy, tax collector, lowest of the low, and they go in. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I am certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. Because everybody wants to hear you list all the great things you do. And that's what he starts doing. Like he has to remind God. But the tax collector, Jesus says, stood at a distance and dared not even to lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you this, Jesus said, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. He told this parable to illustrate the concept of shunning prayers full of fancy words, and to remind us to keep things simple and humble before God. Don't be like the Gentiles who go on and on. Lots of words, and three will do. Do you have those people in your life? Do you want to go, yeah, I got it. Not like, I got it 5 minutes ago. And I think one of the great things about this is his very first instructions about prayer kind of take the pressure off, don't they? Do we have that idea? Good Christians read 4 chapters of the Bible, not 3. Good Christians pray for 20 minutes, not 10. Somewhere or other, we got those ideas. Good Christians fill in the blank. It's a to-do list. And Jesus says prayer is a heart relationship between you and God. Mean what you say and say what you mean. Prayer done in private, conversation between the two of you, is what God desires. Mr. Augsburger went on to say, prayer is relationship, not entreaty, necessarily. Prayer is fellowship, not impression. I don't need to make a good impression on God. Prayer is about a relationship and fellowship. My mom had a stroke following surgery for a brain tumor in 2000. surgery had been very successful. She had a small tumor that they thought was easily removed. They would go in like a little vacuum tube and suck it out. When they got there, it had been there too long, and it was hard, and they had to dig to get it out. And when she came to after surgery, she was good. She could talk. She was cognizant. Everything was fine. And sometime during that night, she had a massive stroke and lost the use of one side, and I spent 2 days trying to remember if it was the left or the right side. Do you ever do that? You can't remember? I picture her in my mind, but I can't remember which side it was. And she also couldn't talk anymore. After a lot of work, she was able to get a little bit of speech back, but then she couldn't find words. We called it, are you word searching, Mom? Is it the word rodeo? Are you trying to wrestle down that word? She understood a lot. She couldn't talk. My parents had been married for 50 years when this happened, and my parents were friends. My parents were best friends. They'd met when they were 16 or 17 years old, got married when they were 20. They had a blast together. I don't think I could have asked for a better example of a marriage than my parents. And they loved to be together and talk and enjoy each other. And I think the hardest part of caring for my mother, and my dad did, it took her a year to get home, 3 years he cared for at home, with my stepmom, Helen, that you meet now. She was the one friend who stayed and helped my parents. 3 years, my dad went without conversation with my mom. He dressed her every day. He bathed her every day. He got up every night at 1:30 in the morning to take her to the restroom. My dad was so lonely. He had her right there. What was the problem? The problem wasn't that she was gone. The problem was the person that he lived life with, that he shared everything with, couldn't speak. It closed down that relationship dramatically. It almost became a parent-child relationship. My dad was lonely. Conversation is relationship. It wasn't like he had big, important things to tell her. It's not like God says, all right, tell me your most important thing first. I'm busy. You got 10 minutes. Hit the high points. You ever done that? You ever had to make a presentation? You know they're busy. You don't have much time. So you hit the high points, don't you? Be quick. Be thorough but concise. Conversation is what builds relationships. It's not the only thing, but it's a big thing. That ability just to share ideas and joys and struggles and hopes and anger. All of that is what builds relationships. God and us, it's a relationship. And it requires interaction. And when that interaction gets shut down, for whatever reason, that relationship gets lonely. And it starts to starve. There are no deep requirements on how to pray. You can go online, if you type in books on prayer, I promise you, you would have a library of books on prayer. But Jesus' instructions about prayer were pretty simple. Tell him what's on your heart. Give him honor. Be grateful. Ask for help. These are things that we do in our relationships. Amazing thing about gifts is sometimes they make you feel guilty. You ever got that gift that was supposed to be really great and you never really got to how to use it? I call them guilt gifts. I got one when I had Shelby. Oh, it was this beautiful calendar for a bedroom. And the whole thing had to be filled out. What she did at 1 month, what she did on day three, what she did on day four. Put a sticker here. Ugh. Like, I had time for that. It was a guilt gift. Eventually, I just put in the closet. Guilt gifts. And someone's giving you a gift, and they think you're really going to like it, and it just drives you crazy. You ever got that tool that was supposed to, you know, as seen on Titty Bitty?
Sewing machine.
Yeah. Yes. And you get that gift, and trying to use it is so hard to do, you just kind of give up. God's gift of prayer is not something that is meant to be a guilt gift. It's meant to be a door into growing and new places. I don't remember who shared this with me. I've racked my brain all week trying to think. Names never come to me. But this is what they did in the mornings when they prayed. Now, you may find that you are up at the crack of dawn person and morning's the best time for you to pray. Yes, then do it. You may find that that's when you are at your worst and you are better in the evening. You may find your car becomes your own little tabernacle. And when you're in the car, that's when you have time to really talk with God. You get to choose. But what he did was, he said every morning when he got up to pray and do study time with the Lord, he would come and sit down and he filled 2 cups of coffee. And then he sat down. And he said that second cup of coffee reminded him, it was a visual reminder that he wasn't sitting there by himself. And God was there with him. What does it take for us to engage? Everybody is wired differently. Sometimes people who write out their prayers, that really doesn't. Some people are 10 minutes now, 4 minutes there, 3 minutes here, 12 minutes there. There, the touch base, get going. Oh yeah, touch base again. Prayer is our chance to engage in relationship with God. And over the next few weeks, we're going to learn a little more about what God's Word has to say about prayer. Get a few ideas. Maybe discover how you're wired to communicate. Because there's no set pattern for prayer. Beth Moore, who is a women's Bible study teacher, and if you ever have a chance to hear her, she is amazing. Great depth, great love for the Lord and His Word. And she said she went through a time where God said to her, she was praying, and she said, "I love you, God." And He said to her, "I want you to say I love you back." When you pray, when you talk with me, say, "I love you back." She said, "That sounded kind of weird, but okay." She said, "So I spent a while when I would pray, I finished, I would say, 'I love you back, God.' Why 'I love you back?' Because I only say 'I love you back' to people who've said 'I love you.' People who've reminded me love me. 'I love you back,' they say." She said she spent several months saying that. "I love you back." Reminder, God loves us. Lord, we love you. Sometimes we don't get all the things that we're supposed to do. Sometimes they seem challenging. Sometimes it feels like I tried really hard and it doesn't get me anywhere. Lord, will you give me courage not to give up? Will you help me find the joy that comes in relationship with you? Will you help me to be grateful for how you've made me, even though I'm not like other people around me? We love you. We're thankful for your Son. We're thankful for an eternity with you. You help us to remember that all week. I love you back. Thank you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? May you find this week opportunities to engage in relationship with your God. And may you find opportunities along the way to say, "I love you back." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.